Okay, tonight's learning should be dedicated to the Nishmas Raisa Bas Yaakov. Okay, tonight I want to finish up the sugya of Gram Kibui. We spent a lot of time on this topic in different versions of it with gas stoves and all the like, so I want to move on to next week. Next week I want to talk about something also very important, I think, but very underrated, we'll call it that. I want to talk about Anam Zemiris. I want to understand where it comes from, who... Why do we don't say it? When to say it? When not to say it? So that Belina, the next week, I already have the booklets here, so we're ahead of the game. So Belina, the next week, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we'll focus on the Anam Zemiris recitation. That's right. I know. The problem is this will be no longer relevant. There's not going to be any more gas ovens, so this is going to be Hagdil Teiru Lahadir Lav Davka Halach L'Maisa. Right, we're going to have bigger problems with our governor. At least in New York State, all new buildings are not going to be allowed to have gas. That's the electric, yeah. That was the law our governor wants to pass. Okay. Yeah, it was in the news the last couple of days. But okay, so we're going to try to wrap up Gram Kibbe again. We could spend much more time than I'm going to allot to it. I'm actually going to leave you all with a parting gift, a whole sheet of Mar Mekomis, which you can use on your own. But it's fascinating because obviously part of our conversation is going to bring us back to the question of the Shabbos clock, which again, for many people, is not negay on Shabbos or Yom Tov if you have you don't have timers set on your clocks because you have a central air or whatever. But it still comes up every once in a while. You set the clock wrong, and you always get blamed if the clock gets set wrong, even if it wasn't your fault. It's always the guy's fault. So the question is, can you put pins in, take pins out? So a lot of that is based on our discussions that we've been having over the last couple of weeks about Gram Kibbe. So we talked a lot over the last couple of weeks. And again, it could even be negay to Rav Moshe's Psak, which again, we don't really know what Rav Moshe said and how he said it. We don't know if Rav Moshe meant that turning off the gas stove is Gram Kibbe. Did Rav Moshe mean it's not Kibbe at all? It's like a Kinsa. It's hard to know because Rav Moshe didn't say it. So we're kind of shooting in the dark. But whatever Gram Kibbe is, we learned last week that there's two cases of perhaps Gram Kibbe. One would be taking a pot and putting it up on the flame, having it boil up, and therefore the water drips over the side and puts out the fire. So that might be called Gram Kibbe. And the other case we saw from Rav Abba Shaul would be, let's say, for example, you want to open the window in front of your gas stove, and by doing so, the gas blows out, and then you turn off the nut. The question is that mutter on Shabbos also? Or is that only mutter on Yom Tov? What's the story? It could be a psikresha, but on Yom Tov, we have a principle called Gram Kibbe. Gram Kibbe is mutter on Yom Tov, according to Taisus. Correct. Psegresha is when you don't have that. Psegresha is when you have just called what's called a davar shein meschaven. When you have what's called a davar shein meschaven, right? So we hold davar shein meschaven mutter. It happens to be who's the bala memra davar shein meschaven mutter? Reb Shimon Bar Yochai on his day. A few minutes left or already past his day. Oh, we make we'll go a little longer for Lag Boimer. Right? Reb Shimon was the one. I'm sure there are plenty of people who have that mincha yet. So Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was the one who said Davar Shein Meschaven. Davar Shein Meschaven only works if it's not a psegresha. Here we're saying it's not lacking your intent, it's lacking your involvement. It could be a psegresha, but you didn't do it. Correct. The psegresha only comes into play when we're discussing that I didn't intend to do it. So the Gemara says, even if you didn't intend to do that, but it's for sure going to happen, it's still us. Here the point is, Gram means I'm not involved. I didn't put out the fire. Blame the wind. Blame something else. By Davar Shein Meschaven, we're going to blame you. Let's, for example, you schlepped the bench there on the ground that made a hole. You made that hole. We're not going to blame someone else. Just because I had no intention to make the hole, we let you off, according to Reb Shimon. So we left off last week, if I'm not mistaken, again, I think we had a stira between the Ramon Hilchos Shabbos and the Ramon Hilchos Yom Tov. Why? We came across the Ramon Hilchos Shabbos, where the Ramon said that Gram Kibbe is only mutter b'makom seder. There has to be some form of a loss, some form of a financial loss that would allow us to do Gram Kibbe. We have a Ramon Hilchos Yom Tov. The Ramon says, no, you could take a flame, and you want it, let's say, for example, you have an extra candle floating around the house that's lit on Yom Tov. You don't want it. So you go outside, as long as it's not yet windy, you go outside, wait for the wind to come, and it will blow it out. Why? So the Vilna Gaon and the Mishnah Berurah both said, because it's Gram Kibbe, and Gram Kibbe is mutter b'Yom Tov. So asks the Achrayim, but I thought Gram Kibbe is only mutter b'makom hefsid. I thought there has to be an impetus. Where's the impetus over here? That's where we left off last week. So we basically left off with the question, when do we say the rule of Gram Kibbe and when don't we? And what do you need in order to say it? So if you pick up with me over here, number 7 is a Sharet Tzion. So the Sharet Tzion says the following. 3 lines in, He writes, "Va'ayim b'maimo modchai shekosav de'efshad de'biyomtev l'kuli alma shori gram kibul lechatchila." Says the Mama Modchai, the difference is, or the answer to the contradiction is, it depends if it's Shabbos or Yom Tov. On Shabbos, to do Gram Kibbutz, you have to have a reason. You have to have a pressing reason, a financial reason. Yom Tov, no. Go for it. You don't need any reason. We had a Tosfos like that. If you remember, source number one, Tosfos says very clearly, Gram Kibbutz mutter be Yom Tov. However, says the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar HaTzion, he says, V'cheinu gam dasali rabba v'arat k'meshav analel. So what do we have? Yom Tov is much easier to do Gram Kibbutz. On Yom Tov, you don't need any pressing reason. You just want to do it because you want to do it. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, if let's say, for example, you want to put the pot on top of the fire on Yom Tov, not because you're going to lose money. It's not money. You're not worried about the kids getting hurt. You just don't want the gas going for there for another day. Just no need for it. That would be mutter. Because according to the Mishnah Berurah, Gram Kibbutz on Yom Tov is mutter without any cheshbonos. You don't need any reasons. You want. It's mutter. Yeah.
Is it specifically putting out the fire, or is it because you're not directly involved in the action?
It's because the Gemara has a comment that Gram Kibbutz is mutter on Yom Tov.
Oh, so Tosfos says.
So that's a bigger discussion. That's a bigger discussion. So that's where you're going to come up. Let's say, for example, in the Shabbos clock, you can have Gram Mavir. Right? If you cause the clock to turn on, you're not doing Kibbutz, you're doing Hadlaka. So we'll have to get to that a little bit later. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, it comes out that if I want to do the patrick, again, I left the gas on and I'm going away for a meal or two, and I'm not really nervous that the house is going to blow up. I'm not worried the kids are going to stop. I don't want it. There's no need. So there's not a makom seida. But I want to do this trick. I want to do the patrick. So again, I'll have to make sure I work with Rav Shlomo Zalman, and I'll have to make sure that I'll use the hot water. But I don't have any good reason for doing it. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you don't need a good reason. Just do it. Gram kibbutz mutter b'yom tov. So that's very important. So for all those people who, so again, if you hold like Rav Moshe, you can just turn the knob yourself. You don't have to go so creative. But if you don't feel comfortable using Rav Moshe, or you're not sure if Rav Moshe said it, or you disagree with any of the things we said over the last, I don't know, many weeks already, so fine. So do the trick that we saw from the Acharonim. Now, to be fair and honest, I didn't put it on the page, but there are Acharonim who hold that the patrick is not justified. They hold that's not Gram Kibbutz. They hold that's not mutter. But again, many, many Acharonim, Ibsheim Zalman, Rebbe Avad Yosef, we saw Diane Fisher, quite a few Gedolim hold that their patrick is 100% when done right. When done right, meaning you're boiling up the water to use the water.
Does every instance of Gram Kibbutz have to have a hefset involved?
No, we're saying, according to Mishnah Berurah, by Yom Tov it doesn't need to have a hefset. On Shabbos it would need. So let's say, for example, you need to pour off your gas on Shabbos. Obviously you can't do the patrick, you'd have to have the window trick. Then you'd have to have some form of a hefset. But on Yom Tov you don't need that. Right, so we learned last week, Shlomo Zalman holds you can't plan this out. We're talking about post facto. You made a miscommunication between you and your wife. You thought you need the gas on for 3 days, and really you don't need it on for so many days. And now your wife is yelling at you, why is the gas on for 3 days? So if the house is getting very hot, that already might be like a pseida. So then for sure you could do it. But let's say the temperature is fine. It's just that, you know, why have it if we don't need it? Or someone's getting uncomfortable with it, even though...
There's
usually a reason. Right. There's usually a reason. Things bother us. Right, exactly. So according to this Mishnah Berurah, you don't need any major reason to do it. If it's Gram Kibbutz, Gram Kibbutz mutter, even Shloi B'Makom Seid. So that's something we should all remind ourselves of when it comes to Yom Tov, that we have in our tool bag, so to say, the option of doing Gram Kibbutz, even if there's no great compelling argument. Now, why would you think twice about it? Because if you look in the next source, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he disagrees. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, Osur L'chabes Eish B'Yom Tov, V'afilu Ligroim Kibbutz Osur. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch basically argues. He says, no, you can't do Gram Kibbutz in Yom Tov. He says, you cannot just go around doing Gram Kibbutz and Yom Tov. Even Amish argues on the Ramah. We learned the Ramah. The Ramah says clearly, you can go outside with the candle as long as the blue wind is not blowing now, even though you know it's going to blow. Says the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, no, you can't. You can't. It's a big Kiddush. Now, if you're Hungarian, so you learn Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, so you're limited. Kiddush Shulchan Aruch was one of the great Hungarian Rabbanim. Right, so then, okay, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you can't do it. But according to the Ramah, the way the Mishnah Berurah learned the Ramah, l'chayr would be mutter. Now, let's just analyze one more nekuda over here. There's another machloikis over here between the Mechab and Ramah, number 9. Right, so Mechab. Ner shel shava sheratz ladlika biyomtiv, v'chas alov shel yisuf kuli. You have a wax candle. And if a wax candle is lit, what happens? it burns down all the wax, and that's it. No more candle. But you need this candle for another use. So basically, you need to get this fire to go out. So how do you do that? So the Mechaber writes, Yochol Liten Sivivo Koidim Sheyed Lekenu Dover Hamanei Milisarif. You're allowed to wrap something around the candle that will stop the fire when it gets to this point. But look very carefully at the wording of the Shulchan Aruch. When you put this thing on it, Koidim Sheyed Lekenu. Only before it's lit. But why does it have to be before it's lit? Again, that's every example. You'll put some form of a foil on the halfway point of it. So that's the question. The question is, because I wrapped this candle with something, that's going to cause it to go out. What is that called? Is that called Gram Kibui? Or is that called something else? What do we consider that? So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, that you can do as long as you do it before the fire is lit. That's okay. Says the Ramo, no. No, we hold you can actually burn off the candle. So, what's the machloekis mechab ramah? Take a pick of the Mishnah Berurah number 10. Writes the Mishnah Berurah.
When is Kodim?
Kodim Shal Kodim is before it's already lit. There's no fire here.
But is that before Yom Tov?
So that's again, we're not discussing, it could be it's before or on Yom Tov. It doesn't matter. The point is it can't be once there's an active fire. Why? Why can't I do the same thing when there's a fire there? Because if everyone remembers, we had a few weeks ago a famous machloekis between Taisvis and the Rosh. What's considered Gram Kibui? Gram Kibui, according to the Rosh, means any time you touch anything that's the fire or related to the fire and causes it to go out, that's Gram Kibui. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah very Gishmak. Once there's a fire here, it's like taking out oil. If there's already a fire lit and you touch the candle, that's like siphoning out oil from a candle, which is awesome. Now, when you wrap the bottom with something, are you diminishing the fire itself? No. Taisvis in Be'er, we learned a few weeks ago, says as long as you don't touch the fire, it's mutter. So what's the Mechaber saying over here? So the Mishnah Berurah says that this Mechaber is going according to the Rosh. Why says the Mishnah Berurah? The Afagav, the Karmel, the Mishnah, the Lamadal, the Gram Kibishari. In fact, Mishnah Berurah, I don't understand. Why do I have to put this wrapping on it before I light it? Why can I put the wrapping on afterwards? It's still going to be Gram. What did I do? I wrapped foil on a candle. That's not kibui. I didn't touch fire. I touched a candle. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, no. That's as long as you don't touch the actual fire. But over here, I touched the fire. I touched the wax. The wax is the equivalent of our case with the oil. Everyone remember we had a machlokes taisus in the Rosh. Am I allowed to siphon out oil from a cup that's sitting with a wick lit in it? So taisus says, go for it, as long as you don't diminish the fire itself. The Rosh says, no, you can't. The Rosh says, once you touch the actual fire itself, that's no longer gram. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us. Shulchan Aruch is telling us that as long as the fire is not lit, you can tamper all you want with it. Once the fire is lit and you're going to touch the candle, and by touching the candle, you're going to cause the fire to go out earlier, that's no longer gram.
But
that's kibbutz.
You're not touching the candle, you're touching the oil.
No, the candle and the oil, the Rosh explained, is all one entity of a fire. And therefore, it's going to be no longer gram kibbutz, it's going to be kibbutz biyadayim.
Would the same apply if you had oil feeding an oil, like it was feeding in?
Well, that,
we talk about the gas.
Exactly, that's our question. That might be like the case of kinsa. Like the Gemara said by kinsa, since it's not exactly directly the fire itself, it's help fueling it, it's a different level. The Mishnah Berurah says a candle is the same thing as oil in a cup. This is the fire. The fire is made up of a candle with a fire on top. Therefore, if you touch that, you're already no longer in Gram territory. You're already in Kibbutz territory. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says it's Aser. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's why it's Aser. Shulchan Aruch says only Koidim Shev Lekenu. Once the fire is already lit, you can't do it. Why? Because then once you're touching something that's already lit, then you're touching the fire. Touching the fire is not Gram, it's Kibbutz Mamash.
But wouldn't you hold the same by Shabbos? Possibly.
Now, look at the next Mishnah Berurah for a second. Says the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chav Beis, why does the Ramah permit it? Hainu afilu achrad lakav etaimam da'at kan lo yasru mishom mechaba elamim mistapik men Hashem mishom b'ner b'shoshu doylik mishom mishom b'shoshu mistapik mecheu orik tzas. Mash enki b'ner shal shavad b'shoshu choytich lamata in negei zel amar klal v'ak she'achar kach yimar lichbo. It's beautiful. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this machloikis mechaba in Ramah is our original machloikis taisvus in the Rosh. We had a machloikis taisvus in the Rosh. Why can't you siphon out oil from a from a wick in a cup of oil? Tosfos said because when you take out oil, you shrink the fire. The Rosh said, no, that's not reason. The reason is because you're touching the fire itself. Says the Mishibur, that's the exact same machloikis here also. What happens? I go over to a candle. I chop the bottom of the candle off. What did I do? Did I impact the power of the fire itself? No. What did I do? I'm going to cause it not to go out earlier. It says, right. But I'm not, the fire itself did not diminish. Tosfos and Beis holds, as long as you don't diminish the fire itself, that's gram kibbutz. Therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's why the Ramah permits it. Mashenki, the Mechaber says you can't do it. Why? Because the Mechaber holds like the Rush. That as long as you're touching the source of the fire, that's already kibbutz. Therefore, you only can do this trick before it's lit, but after it's lit, you'd be stuck.
Can we talk about the timing of the Ram Kibbutz? Like, you have a candle that's, 5 feet
forward. Correct.
And then you cut off,
So again, according to the Ramah, that's fine. Because all I did was I made it go out quicker.
No, I'm saying, but even, is it Ram Kibbutz, I have to be somewhat...
Well, it has to be on Yom Tov. Anytime on Yom Tov. If this is going to go out a minute before the end of the month, if I'm already going to be able to keep it, according to the Rush, yeah.
Doesn't that case for putting something on the candle, isn't that very similar to pulling out the one piece of wood from the bottom?
No, the difference over there, by the one piece of wood, it didn't catch fire yet. So it's not looking at one big entity. What made right, the candle is, this is the one thing, like the cup of oil. Fine. So then again, so this was I just thought brought out this brought out our original discussion in the Rishonim between the Rosh and Tosfos. Now, if you take a look over here in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, a very very difficult, in my opinion, Shulchan Aruch HaRav to understand. He writes the following. He says, "Avomuta liten lamata sivivav saner dover hamaneh milisaref bein sheichbe kishegiel l'sham." Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, you are allowed to wrap or put the candle in something that will cause the fire to stop when it gets there. You'll stick it into sand. Making sure you don't make a hole. Why is that okay? Because I didn't touch the fire. Even though I'm causing it to go out shorter, earlier. That sounds like Tosfos. That as long as I don't diminish the fire itself, I'm okay. The Alpha Pisha also ligram kibui im loy b'makam hefsid. Fact the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, 1 second. Gram kibui is also unless it's a makam hefsid. So what do you see from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? He did not go like the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah told us that when it comes to Yom Tov, gram kibui is 100% mutter. Here the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is sticking to his guns. He's saying, no, it's got to be a makam hefsid. So why are you allowed to do this? He says, no. Mekom makam kibin shahadover hamunach savivas haner eina mechabim mamish esa eish. He's making a subcategory. There's gram kibui, and there's what he calls stopping the spread of a fire. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, this is not gram kibui. Gram kibui, 100%. Gram kibui you can only do if it's a makam seder. But this is not gram kibui. Taking the candle and wrapping, let's say, foil on the bottom of the candle, that's not called gram kibui. So what would you call that, says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? He says, what we'd call that is meinea oisei milisarif. You're preventing it from burning.
Doesn't the Gemara call that the Shabbos?
So that to me always is like, that's what gram kibbutz is. So this Shulchan Aruch HaRav is splitting things even more. There's gram kibbutz and everybody calls meinea oisa milisarif. So that's a new category according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Now, let's just see one more Maram Malkam, the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam writes, mutter litin saviv ner koidim shiadik dava meinea milisarif. You're allowed to put in to a candle, look at the Lashon of the Chai Adam, koidim shiadlik, like the Mechaber. Only before it's lit. Be'inyin sheyich b'shegi l'sham, u'letzayrich hefsid, afilu la'acha shehidlik. So the Chai Adam makes a split. He says, depends. If you're going to touch the candle once it's already lit, then it has to be a pseida. Why? Because he holds gram kibbutz is only mutter b'makam pseida. But if it's before it's lit, then you could do it for any reason.
Why should it be gram kibbutz in any case? If it's before it's lit, then it becomes
So again, before it's lit, the Mechaber already permitted it. The problem is the Mechaber permitted it also under the ban of gram kibbutz.
Should it even be gram? I mean, everything is part of the... It just happens.
Right. You're not...
It's having a shorter candle from the step.
Right. That's why it's mutter. Meaning, what I want from this Chai Adam is the Chai Adam, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch, all hold the same thing. That gram kibbutz is not mutter b'makam seder. That's what I want. Either Shulchan Aruch says you can cut the candle. So he'll tell me all these fancy terutzim. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about that's not gram kibbutz. But what's negate to us? All of these achrayim are not like the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah said Gram Kibui is mutter. No problem. Why? Because of the Mama Mordechai, because of the steer in the two Ramah. But these Achrayim are all sticking to their guns. They're saying no. You need to have it as a Makom Seder. So let's go back to our original question. You want to do the Patrick. You want to put the pot on. According to these Achrayim, you have to have a Seder.
We still never quantified what exactly is that, meaning paying a couple nickels more for gas.
Right, so that's what we're going to talk a little bit more. We mentioned last week that Rabbi Shaul felt that the fact that your gas bill will be a little bit more gets included in your Hitzos Yomtev.
So therefore it's not.
So it has to be more than just, it has to be either a monetary loss or another good reason. We'll see on the next page that one of the Paiskim suggests, let's say, for example, you're scared to leave your house and you're not going to go to shul. Yeah. Not going to go to shul. Yeah. I'm not going to tell them. Great excuse. I'm not going to go to shul. I'm scared to leave the house with the gas. Or they get too hot. These would all be good reasons. We were saying till now that according to Mishnah Berurah, you don't need any reason. Just because. I don't know. Just because you don't want it on. No great reason. The house is not hot. There's no little kids, right? According to these Achrayim, you have to have episode reason to justify doing Gram Kibbe. Yeah.
It's interesting that according to both the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Chai Adam, they both agree that the candle itself is not a hefset.
That's right. I mean, that's not enough of a hefset. Right. It's not every time you're doing this is because you don't have enough candles to go around. Now, this is the beginning of the discussion of how to look at the Shabbos clock. Right, this is the beginning of the discussion. Again, a much bigger discussion that needs to be had, but just hold on and switch to the next page for a second. I want to first cover what we need to cover, and if there's extra time, we can handle a little bit about the Shabbos clock. Take a look at the Sefer Mishmeres HaMayados on the next page, number 14. This is a Sefer written by Yinder, by Leifer. He's a Chassidish from Eretz Yisrael. He goes by the Simanim of the Shulchan Aruch, but he does it with the Gemaras, with the Rishonim, very, very, very nice style. So he points out the following. He says, let's go back to our original question of the night. You want to do the pot trick. You want to put the pot down, boil up hot water, use it for a cup of coffee, or to wash your hands, and then it will overspill, you'll do the whole little shtick, and then it will put out the fire, and then you'll turn off the gas. Can you do that or not? So he writes, very gishmak, he says, according to the Ramah, you definitely have no problem. What do you mean? What does he mean according to Ramah? Because we just learned before there's Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. Are you allowed to tamper with things when there's already a fire present? The Mechab paskind that if there's already a fire present, you can't touch anything because touching things are going to be a problem. So he wants to say, so let's go like this. You take, when the gas is already going, there's a fire there. Now you're putting a pot on top of that. Maybe you're not allowed to touch anything once there's already a fire going, according to the Mechab. So he says, so can Svardim also do the Patrick? So he says, Ashkenazim for sure can do it. Why? Because we hold like the Ramah. The Ramah said that even if there's a fire going in the candle, I can chop off half the bottom of it. Why? Because Gram Kibui. So this is also Gram Kibui. So he writes it this, Ulashitas HaRamah de Gram Kibui Shari, Afilu Be'esh Atzmoyi, Motor B'Pshitas B'Nididon. Of course you could do the trick of the pot. What's the problem? It'd be the same thing as taking the fire outside. Just like if I take the fire outside, as long as it's not yet windy, I'm okay. Here also, when I put the pot down on the fire, there was no water overflowing. The water's only going to overflow later. So it's almost the exact same case as the Ramah. This trick of the pot is mamish the same thing as taking a candle outside. You took the candle outside, it wasn't yet windy. We all know it's going to get windy, and that's okay. Why? Gram Kibui. Here also, I put the pot down on the fire, so even though right now there's no water spilling over, it's just a pot, so fine. He says, but omnam, hey yois ladasa magen avram, v'shochanach harav, chay odom, v'avrob agoyis b'kivege in lahat de gram kibui kim makam hefsed, oy tzerich gadol, oy letzerich mitzvah. He said, but not so fast. Good. I'll get you to the point where you can tell me that putting the pot on is a gram kibbutz. But we just quoted three achrayim that all hold gram kibbutz only mutter letzairich. Now, the truth is, the Mishnah Berurah says not like that. Mishnah Berurah says gram kibbutz is mutter for any reason. But he points out that since it is a big machloikas apayiskim, he thinks you should not use this trick unless you have either a makam hefsid, tzairich gadol, or tzairich mitzvah.
Does anyone say that there's a difference between, let's say, chopping off the bottom and moving oil versus having it go over? Because here you're not touching the actual flame itself. You know, it's a different level.
Yeah, when I cut the candle, I'm also not touching the fire itself.
You say that again?
When I cut the bottom of the candle, I'm also not touching the fire.
Right, but I'm saying, but here it's like a secondary step. In other words, I'm not touching the fire or the source of the fire. I'm just having it. A third party, meaning the water overflows.
So the same thing also. If I put something on the candle that causes it to go out, it's the thing, not me. It's really a similar case. Or let's say the case of the wind.
I'm not touching the fire, the core of the fire at all. You know, it's by the water, you know, you're just doing this trick. It's like a less of a level because you're not touching the fire, you're not touching the flame, you're not touching the candle, you're not touching the oil, you're not doing anything.
Well, you kind of are touching the fire. You're putting a pot on top of the fire.
Good. Yeah, but you put out the boil up. Now, the fact that it overflows, that's a much lesser level.
So what about the case of the Ramah where you go outside with the candle, holding the candle? What's that?
No, I think that's more of a direct thing because you're holding the candle.
Yeah, but the Ramah calls that Gram Kibbe also. At least right. The way the Goyin learns the Ramah.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. According to what he's bringing down here, I think the Patrick should be more of a Heta than anything else because it's a third step. You know, you're not touching the candle, you're not touching the flame, you're not causing it directly. Here it's a Zaytik thing.
I'm saying that's your Maisa. Your Maisa is putting a pot on, knowing it's going to boil.
I'm not touching the source of the flame. Is that,
again, when I cut the candle, I'm also not. I'm touching the candle, not the flame.
You're
looking at the candle again. How do we look at the candle? It's a good point. You have to really break down each case and see how direct or indirect I'm involved. But my assumption would be is it's no different than the case of the Ramah where I walk outside holding the candle. That's the biggest guilt. I walk outside holding a candle. The Ramah says Gram Kibbutz. Well, I didn't touch the fire. So here also, it should all be the same category. I never touched the fire directly. So he writes on the bottom something interesting. He says, what are some of the examples of tzairich? He writes, Al kein ein lishtamish be'etzah na ligrim kibbeh leisha gaz, rak b'mechum tzarech gol, ki goin, she'ein dai gaz be'mechal. And this is not so negeya to us, but in Eretz Yisrael, we have, let's say, a tank. I guess this could be negeya
on a propane
tank. If a person has a limited amount of gas, and he can't use it up, he needs it. So if that would be a tzarech to put it out. Let's say the room is very hot. But it's hard to keep it this way. Now again, we spoke a couple of weeks ago that could be if the room is very, very hot, you might be able to turn it off by a dime. Even without Ramosha's lumdus. You might be able to do it for other reasons. You need to go daven. You're eating out a meal. There's no food at home. And you're scared to leave the house because you're nervous that there's gas. Or the adults go to sleep. You're worried, what are the kids going to do? Who knows? Maybe the kids, meaning the truth is, what he means is the kids are not going to realize that gas blew out. And then the house is filling with gas, and that's very dangerous. But just the money is hard to justify. We're not talking about that much money. You spend that much money on a couple cups of coffee throughout the week, it's probably the same amount of money. Again, he reminds us again of the same rule. You can only do this if you use the water that you boil up. If you use the water that you boil up, you can do this trick. So again, so we have two tricks that are on the books. Either the window trick, again, the window trick. So the guy in my shul is a very creative person. So he told me he has another trick. He's going to put a fan right next to the gas. Put a fan. Fan's going to blow it out. Same thing. Instead
what does he do when he actually wants to use it to cook beforehand?
Right, so he's...
He puts the fan before you...
He has a whole stickle. He's going to put it with a clock, a whole stickle. He's got it all figured out. This guy's a patent lawyer. He understands. He wants to take a fan, put it right next to the stove, put it on a timer, have the clock turn on at whatever time. It's going to blow it out. Okay. Interesting. What would that be? Would that be like Gram? Yeah. So again, L'chayra, it would only work that you can't have the fan already on. If you have the fan already on, so then it's like going outside when the wind is already blowing. You can't do that. So you'd have to have, obviously, the other reason is because if the fan's blowing, it's not going to get off the ground. It's going to blow it out.
And then once it blows out...
Then it blows out, you can turn off the gas.
You turn off the gas.
Yeah. No, because you're not doing anything.
Okay, it's ready.
Okay, on Shabbos, the knobs are muktzah. On Yom Tov, the knobs are not muktzah. Because you can always raise the gas on Yom Tov. So on Yom Tov, the gas are not, the knobs are not muktzah. Shabbos, the knobs are muktzah. So on Shabbos, if let's say the gas blows out, the fire goes out, you do it with the shina because the knobs are muktzah. But be'etzim on Yom Tov, the knobs are not muktzah. So this fellow had this idea. He wants to set up a fan, put the fan right there with a timer. Okay, it could work. I'm not saying it can't work.
Is that better than just having a timer on the oven itself?
No, I think put a timer on the oven is fine also. You could do that also.
This best Shabbos in my house. Somebody who normally doesn't put up the blech, put up the blech and put on an extremely high fire.
Right.
No.
The blech. The gas.
Blech
on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was afraid that the house we'd have a major fire.
So what did we learn last week? We mentioned last week there's a possibility from, we saw this from Rabbi Avram Weinfeld, that maybe you could do Amir Lenochri.
can ask a guy to lower it.
But are you deshinu, you cannot do it.
For Shabbos, it's much harder. Again, if you hold like Rav Moshe Lagamri, that's mamish kinsa, it's not garam, it's not kibbeh, it also could be for Shabbos, you can also do it. But it's a little bit of a sell. It's a little bit of a sell for Shabbos, but it could be. Depends how you learn Rav Moshe. If you learn Rav Moshe that it's not gram, it's not kibbeh at all, because all I'm doing is stopping the flow of the gas. So again, the vart of the shina would only be as muktzah on the nub. No, I'm saying, if there's a real sakana, I don't know the situation.
No, I thought there'd be a sakana. And by the way, the problem in the fact with, that is there's no goyim anymore.
Even with a blech on top of it? What was the chash? With the blech, what was the chash?
He gets extremely high.
I know.
And there's glass underneath him, there's formica around it. I mean, it spreads.
Usually the blech, the idea is it's supposed to keep the fire.
Yeah, but the problem is he's got a glass top underneath it, and right around it is formica, which could be.
I don't know. Now, if you take Rav Moshe so literally, if you think Rav Moshe meant that it's mamish like, it's not even gram, it's totally not kibbeh, so Ken Zayin's mutter. Yeah, maybe. Again, I don't know. Tough call. Now look at number 15. This is something very interesting. This is definitely not halacha l'maisa, but definitely fascinating. He writes over here, he says, Agav Orchim. He says, once we're on the topic of gram kibbeh, let's go one step further. Begram kibbeh amarti lahaske bekitzer aminan emutter l'shtamish bepulos segulios k'dei lichbois esadleika. Apparently, there are segulas that help you put out fires. What are they? He says, the B'shas Ruchu is Lev Chaim, Lev Chaim Palaji, Hevi Ma'asef HaPachet Yitzchak Void, Skula L'zeh L'haroz Neger HaDleike Beged HaMaluch Lech V'Dam Nida. Don't try this at home, but apparently if you take a beged that's full of Dam Nida and you put it opposite a fire, the fire will go out. I have no idea. I don't even know Google knows this one. I don't know. Chaim Palaji says, you take a beged maluchlich b'dam nid and you put it opposite the fire will go out. Oi, he's got another one. Loi mashiru l'ashem shir chodosh. If you say, it doesn't say you have to sing it, you say, shiru l'ashem shir chodosh opposite the fire goes out. Oi, l'haroi shemes ha-kodesh. You show the fire, shemes ha-kodesh, Hashem is holy names.
When did Chaim Palaji become a
chassid? They took it from him. Now, Chaim Palaji was a mekubal. So he wants to know, if I do a skula that causes a fire to go out, is that called gram kibbeh or not? Again, forget the alumnus of the schools. What did I do? I put a baguette up in front of fire. You can argue, but everyone knows that when you put a baguette in front of a fire, the fire goes out. So could you say it's me putting out the fire? Or do you say it's not you? You know, what did you do? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever he does.
Okay, so that possibly would be a mirror.
Right, again, unless you argue, similar to what Jake was bringing about a psikresha. If I know doing this causes that, so then maybe it's Kilo I did it. Now again, the problem is, like I said earlier, psikreshas only work when the issue is your intent, not when it's felt in your action. So that's the shayla. Now, the truth is, at the end of the piece, he comes out and says, it is a problem. It's a taka problem. That's not gram. That's a pu'ula to cause kibbeh. By gram kibbeh, the pshat is, I didn't do a pu'ula to cause kibbeh. I did a pu'ula that indirectly caused kibbeh. Here, it's not indirect. I did hocus pocus, and hocus pocus put the fire out.
About 35 years ago, we were singing Shal Shudas around, and we noticed, remember those old Coke cans that would dance? So when we were singing, the Coke cans would start dancing. We had to stop. So it could be that the triggering of Amira actually...
So could be. That's a Shaina Maisa, right? Amira ke Maisa, ke Dibur Domi. My talking is an action. Now, it sounds funny, but I wanted to be tailor this in another Shaila. Now, whether or not my Tali is good or not, we could debate it. Take a look at a Kafachayim number 16. Right? We just relatively finished the month of Nisan. One of the big things in Nisan is Brichas Ilonis. So one of the big shailas people always ask is, can I say Brichas Ilonis on Shabbos V'Yom Tov? Okay, so what's the din? So if you look over in the Kaf HaChaim, he writes, B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov, Ein Levarach Brichas Ilonis. On Shabbos V'Yom Tov, you shouldn't recite Brichas Ilonis. Why? Shema Yitalta Lo Ilonis. You may come to move. You'll touch the tree. Or Yikach B'Yodeh HaProchem L'Arech B'Yom. Maybe you'll pluck off one of the budding things on the tree, you'll pluck it off. Or Yishem Yitloish, fine. Moyed L'Chol Chai. According to what they say in Kabbalah, when you make Brichas Ilonis, you're somehow separating the Nitzotzes HaKedusha from the plant. It's Beirer. Because you separated by this bracha, you did some maisa. V'alkein aser levarech bracha zubi shavz yamtiv. Paskas the kavachayim, it's aser to make the bracha shavz yamtiv. V'chein ama devar. Many Svadish Apoiskim, not all, many Svadish Apoiskim ruled you're not allowed to say Bechzlan, Shabbos Yomtev. So I wanted to be Toilah in the same Shaila. I did Bayer. I davened. I made a bracha. Teretz says, because my bracha causes Min HaShemayim X to happen. So I was thinking, maybe these two Shailas are Toilah Zeb
Zeb. Yeah, but who said by there was that the bracha will take effect on Shabbos? I'm davening. Who said there will be also?
No, every time, no, that's the Chiddush. Every time you make this bracha, that's what happens. So it's almost like this. So I wanted to be told this in the two shaylas. Now, the truth is, the Ashkenazic Paiskim, for the majority, do not assume like this for a lot of reasons. We assume you could do it on Shabbos V'yomtiv. But some of the Svadic Paiskim attack are very hesitant. They don't think it's so pashut. So I wanted to be told this in the same shaylas. That when you do a normal action, like holding up a baguette, or saying Shiru L'Hashem Chachadosh, or making a bracha, and that has, and it's known, it's not a shaila. You know this is going to cause that, but that's not me. I didn't do the Maisa Shabbos. That's gram. That's less than gram. I don't know what you want to call it. We'll call it siguli. It's a skula. So it could be that toloi zebuze and that shaila. Okay, that's just for fun.
Nobody would say you can't start Alexa on Shabbos, though, right?
Well, someone said you could or can't.
I mean, I don't think anybody would agree. Everybody would agree that you cannot. Something that's voice activated, you can't
do it. Because there it's much more direct. Here, it's the same.
Scientific.
Right. Here we're saying that the Hashem, this is really Hashem doing. You know, Hashem made this trick that when you do this, it leads to that. Again, it's.
Every time, I know it's theoretical, but I'm saying, every time the
spiral
happens.
Even the Svadish
place.
I grab the most years. I end up making the bracha on Shabbos or Yom Tov just because it's more convenient to make the bracha on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But the Svadim are more zoy. They try not to. But the Litvish Paiskim by large are more makel. There are some. I was taka looking. I forgot why. I was looking at Rabbi Blumenkranz's book. He taka writes you should not make the bracha on Shabbos or Yom Tov. I was very surprised. I thought that's not the common practice amongst Ashkenazic Rabbanim. I thought we assume not like this. We assume you could do it on a Shabbos.
Yeah, but when you gave the brush and Berchus and Lannis, you quoted all those Paiskim, the Kafachayim,
and
Shmuel Kamenetz.
And say you could do it.
Not the Kafachayim, Shmuel Kamenetz.
Yeah, you could do it. Lechatchil.
I think the Gavriel and one other.
Stipler.
Because it came up. That's
why you could do it. Lechatchil.
Yeah,
I know. That's our surprise. When I was reading Rabbi Blumenkranz, and he says not to. I was a little surprised. I don't know. Not sure why. Maybe if all bets are equal, but never bet. All bets are never equal. You always remember when it's Shabbos afternoon, you're taking a walk. You don't remember on a Tuesday afternoon when you're busy. It's just the reality of the way things are. I was glad dealing with the Berchus Ilonis. I was so proud of myself. I made Berchus Ilonis. It was Shabbos, okay. Then I found out that the fruit tree doesn't produce any fruits.
No,
it's Ilonis Rak.
No, same thing. What? No,
Ilonis Rak. It doesn't produce any fruits.
No, how did you know that?
Someone told me.
They put it in the paper that this house, Midwood or whatever, has a fruit tree. So three of us, we go over there. I'm looking at this and I go, this looks like the barest tree I've seen. But everyone said they went there. It turns out,
They realize it's not true. So the shaila is good. So the shaila now is, do you have to make another bracha? So Taka, there's a chiddush for Rabbi Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says no. That even though the Baltitz and Elon, and again, most of those trees at some point, granted the one I was dealing with, once produced fruits, even though now it's not. But Mr. Brewer does not sound like Mr. Brewer sounds like if it doesn't produce, it's no good. So the easy answer is, I told someone, let go there with someone else, let them make the bracha. Answer, I mean, this way, it's Alashit, it's an Alachumas.
Isn't it true that you can do that really the whole year?
It has to be seasonal. You can only do it once every season.
I was saying, but it doesn't have to be
Dafkin. No, so that's a machoikis also. Some places can say they're medayik from the Gemara only Nisan. The Svadim are very makbid. Right. But the Aruch HaShulchan and others, right now, it depends whenever it starts to bud. So it's Lav Dafka Tolei in the month of Nisan. Okay, so let's just very bekitzer. If you turn to the last page, we don't have time to get into all the lumdas, but very bekitzer, on the last page, it's a very beautiful sikum. Just very bekitzer about the Shabbos clocks for a second. Again, what's the shaila with the Shabbos clock? If I have a Shabbos clock that's set and to go off or to go on, and I'm going to tamper with it to either cause it to go on earlier, stay on, go off, go on, whatever it's going to be, how do we look at that? Is that gram kiboy, gram hadlaka, gram not? How do we look at it?
And you're talking about only the old style with triffers.
Lav dafka, could be even with the pins.
What other kind is there?
No, I'm talking about either trippers or pins.
Or either trippers or pins. All the achrayim are talking about trippers. Clearly, number 17. He's talking about a tripper.
What's a pin?
A pin. You take a pin in, take a pin out.
What's a tripper?
Tripper is when you push on the actual machine itself. You push down. There's different types of timers. You know. Right. So if you go to the last page, very bekitzer, again, I'm not doing justice to the sugya because we're up against the clock and I don't want to do this for another week. But I'm just going to look at, if you look at the last page, I found, you know, there are different journals that you can get on Yitzhak Chachma. So let's, for example, YU has a journal called Beis Yitzchak. I can read so many journals they have. Tarvidas also has a journal called Hamasifta. They also put out a journal of different Talmidim of theirs. Now many of them are Rosh Hashivas. So in that journal, I found someone, I couldn't find, I don't know if I remember, it even says his name. So he gave you a sikkum, he gave you six different scenarios about playing with the Shabbos clock. And this is for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It should be the same, again, depending on how you learned the Machloikis Achorin about Gram Kibui Shabbos versus Yom Tov. He goes through the different shitas. Again, there's much more here. First of all, I put on the sheet, Reb Steinemann held, you can't do anything. Everything's awesome. So that's not discussed. Everything's awesome, right? Another shaila that I put down on the bottom from Rav Avigdor Nevinzel is actually interesting. What about, let's say, for example, you are allowed to play around with the pins. What happens if, let's say, it's a Yom Tov leading into Shabbos? Can I play with the pins on Friday in a way that will impact Friday night?
Why? Al-Sachana?
So says Rav Avigdor Nevinzel, as long as you made an Erev Tavshilin, you're good to go. Enachanami. So if you made an Erev Tavshilin, so what? Let's say you're going to... No, not true. That's the Chiddush. I think we might have a share about this one of these days. Erev Tavshilin is for a lot of things, right? It's a shayla, what Erev Tavshilin does include? Mamoshal, I was talking to by me, the Kohel, by the Chassidim. The shayla is, can you go to the mikvah with an Erev Tavshilin? Right? You want to go to the mikvah on Friday afternoon for Friday night. So that I told you, you don't need Erev Tavshilin for that. You want to be more Kaddish now. You don't need to say, I want to be more Kaddish later. But some of them taka use the Erev Tavshilin for the mikvah. So we can use Erev Tavshilin for more things than just food. But Zaktib Nevin saw, if you have an Erev Tavshilin, you can do that. So let's say, for example, I want to tamper with the clock on Friday that will impact Friday night. If you have an Erev Tavshilin, that's fine. Now, the other point is, without reading all the shitas, is that it could be the pins themselves might be muktzah, or the clock itself might be muktzah. So the Paisim suggests, if you're going to start touching the clock, do it with the shina. Do it with the shina, you know, some back of the hand. It's a little hard, you know. I know a guy who told me he uses his teeth to take the pins out. Wow. We have a dentist here, so I don't want to say anything, but, you know, just be careful. So now, just very bekitzer. Now, the truth is, bekitzer nimroitz, the up mach in this whole sugya, for the most part, is Reb Moshe is extremely mach, and Reb Shlomo Zalman is a little bit more mekel. Now, Reb Moshe was against Shabbos clocks, b'chlal. But Reb Moshe over here, right, Reb Moshe was very against Shabbos clocks, and that we've discussed, I think, in other sugyas. But here, with regard to tampering with the clocks, so again, you can read it on your own, I put down over here.
I think the Shmir Shabbos
is very mekel. He calls for Shmir Shabbos to be somewhat mekel, you know, depending on the situation. But if you go through the different cases, you'll see all the different scenarios when it's either it's on to go off, how late. So almost all of them, the answer is Reb Moshe holds Asur, Reb Shmir Shabbos is mekel. So most of the questions are going to be Reb Moshe. The only time Reb Moshe held its mutter is, according to Reb Moshe, if, let's say, for example, if you skip down to case number 5. Shedoydik Achshav, let's say, for example, the air conditioner is on. It's going to turn off. It's scheduled to turn off at 10. I want to tamper with the clock that it won't turn off at all. So what am I really doing? I'm status quo. Reb Moshe held status quo is okay. So that Reb Moshe was matir. So Reb Moshe basically, again, the tshuva for Reb Moshe is on page 2. It's not a long tshuva, but basically Reb Moshe holds anything status quo is okay. Tampering anything, either earlier, later, on, off, no good. But Reb Shlomo Zalman is a little bit more makel with regard. No, Reb Moshe holds it the same. Reb Moshe holds it's not gram, it's be a dime. According to Moshe, it's going to be awesome.
That's staying on a stat, so stats go the other way.
That's correct.
If it's off, it's scheduled to go
take
off.
Take a look at number 6. B'shosh Shekiba, it's off. V'tzarech lehadlik b'shosh, it's supposed to turn on at 10, and you want to make sure that it doesn't turn on at all. Reb Moshe's matter.
Same.
Reb Moshe is the same thing. Reb Moshe is consistent. So, okay, I think we got a lot of gram kibin. We got to catch Meiriv. Mitzvah next week, a little bit of a lighter topic. We'll be discussing on